On your journey through life, you are the hero. There are times, however, when it is beneficial to have an advisor to guide you along your path. Welcome to the Smart Money Simplified Podcast with Brent Mikosh, certified financial planner, certified investment management analyst, and co-founder of MP Advisors LLC. In this podcast, we provide you with financial clarity so that you have the tools to live your best life. Listen in as Brent guides you through creative solutions to various financial problems that business professionals, young adults, and retirees commonly face to make their money work. Now, on to the show.
Hello, and welcome to Smart Money Simplified with Brent Mikosh. I'm so excited. Today is Brent's inaugural podcast, his very first one. Brent, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing today, Eric?
I'm doing outstanding. You stole my word, man. I love fantastic. I'm doing great. I'm excited. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this podcast. I know that you've put this together for educational purposes and really reaching an audience that needs to be reached. But before we get into the educational stuff that you're going to be presenting, we're going to let the audience get to know you. And so, audience, this is a two-part podcast, basically. It's all in one podcast, but there's two sections of it. The first part is really asking Brent about his history, kind of what drove him into this field of work. And the second half is going to be about personal stuff, kind of some personal questions so you can get to know him as a human being. Brent, you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. So right off the bat, why did you decide to work in financial services? Tell me just a little bit about your history.
Well, my father has actually been in the business since 1969, and one of the stories that he always told me is he was studying for his industry exams when Armstrong was landing on the moon. So I grew up with a lot of stories about him in the business and the people that he worked with. And as a younger kid, I spent a lot of time with a lot of the guys in his office. And so, whereas finances and stocks and bonds and things like that were it was just part of my life growing up. I remember I used to I had a business where I cut grass and a landscaping business, through into my high school years. And excess money got put away, and I invested in companies as opposed to just holding it in the bank. Mm. So it's something I was really born with and grew up with.
Wow, no kidding. That's great. I had a paper route, and I blew all my money on donuts and dumb stuff. So
I blew a lot of money, too. I was still in many cases, immature young person, but I at least was educated on finances at a pretty young age.
Yeah, you had some guidance. That's great. Yeah. All right, so who do you work with? And tell me a little bit about your specialty.
Absolutely. We're an independent office of Raymond James Financial Services. So Raymond James, major S&P 500 company based out of St. Petersburg, Florida. They've got offices, corporate offices around the country, but they also have an independent channel, and that's the direction that we've chosen to take with the business. Gives us a lot more freedom, a lot more flexibility to serve our clients in the way that we want to. So we're through Raymond James's independent channel, and in terms of the people we work with, we work with clients and individuals, and in some cases companies, where they do what they do extremely well. They've been very successful focusing and using their life's energy to focus on the things that are going to move their own lives forward. And what they're looking to do is they're looking for, an outside advisor to help them clarify some of the issues they may have around the finances. And that's where they call us to help us, help them along their path.
Yeah. Yeah. Successful people, I believe, and this is just my opinion, but successful people learn to delegate, right? If you focus on what you know and do well, then the other things that you don't do well or don't like to do, get somebody else to do that, because boy, it just launches your trajectory in a way that nothing else can.
100%. I completely agree with that. I mean, one of the filters that I run most decisions in my own life through, in terms of if I'm looking at engaging an outside person, it's what's the benefit of bringing their level of expertise into the equation, but also what am I saving myself in terms of either time or energy or even if it's what's distracting me from the main core focus of my life, because we've all only got a certain amount of bandwidth. We've got a certain amount of neurons firing at any one time. And if we're using them on things that aren't, quite frankly, moving the ball forward, moving our own lives forward efficiently, then we may not get where we want to go. So we are really, from the financial standpoint, a lot of the clients we work with, I mean, they're really savvy people. They've been hugely successful in their own lives. They could, quite frankly, they could probably do a lot of the things that we're recommending that they do. But what they want is they want that outside set of eyes. They want an outside set of ears that they can bounce some ideas across. And they want someone else to either reinforce some of the decisions they've made or maybe perhaps nudge them in a different direction if they're looking at doing something that may not be in the interest of what they're trying to achieve in their life moving forward.
Yeah, so to get that accomplished, what are you doing for your clients?
Well, the first thing is we've got to get to know them really well. I think even when we first engage with somebody and first meet with somebody, there's questions about finances, but what I really want to know is what are the key factors? What are the motivations? What's important to them? Who are the stakeholders in their lives? What is it that makes them tick and gets them out of bed in the morning? And then at that point, what we're trying to do is then reinforce that and do everything, at least on the financial side, to make sure that the financial piece is taken care of. And if the financial piece is going to, again, help them move forward in their lives in the direction that they want to go.
Kind of a no-brainer here. How do you find these clients? How do these clients get to your doorstep?
Well, that's definitely evolved over time, for sure. I mean, initially, when you get in this business, you know, the goal is to cast a really large net, mm-hmm. meet a lot of people. This is a very social business. But we're at the point now where most of the new clients that we have coming in, they're coming in really one of two ways. They're coming in from the existing client base, and that's probably our number one source of new referral business right now. It's people that know us, people that like us, people that feel like we've done a good job for them, and they're introducing us to people that are in their circle. The other thing is other financial or legal professionals in their lives. So estate planning attorney, CPA, those people that they were working very closely with, they are a lot, in many cases, introducing us to people. Estate planning attorney might have a family that they've worked with for years and years, and this family may have expressed an interest in maybe taking a new approach, and we might get that introduction, that type of thing.
Absolutely. I know one of the reasons you started this podcast is because you do want to educate not only your current clientele, which you do, but also the public. This podcast is nationwide, and it's going to be heard everywhere, very soon. So what kind of client education do you do besides this?
Really, what is money but it's stored energy. It really, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And particularly finances and your investment accounts, it's stored energy. There's a lot of different ways that you can direct that energy. And so my goal with the podcast moving forward is, yeah, we want to talk about investments. We want to talk about stocks and bonds and cash and all the stuff that make up the core of an investment portfolio. But we also want to bring different ideas to people that they may find interesting. And it could be investing in, or what is it like to invest maybe in some of these alternative asset classes moving forward? What are some of the things that in your personal life, maybe even your physical health and things like that, mm-hmm. that very indirectly are going to have a result in how your finances, you know, move forward. And so the goal with this, from my perspective, is to not just bring basic financial education out to people, although I do hope that we're able to achieve that to a certain degree, but it's not to talk about growth stocks versus value stocks or things like that. But again, an example might be, you know, what does it look like to have a specific asset that your company is investing in? And we're going to be seeking to speak to some great CPAs about some of those types of questions. What is charitable mm-hmm. giving look like? How does that impact really the family structure? Because there's nothing in many cases that can bring a family together like a unified purpose yeah. in terms of contributing to a charity. So there's a lot of things like that might be a little bit outside the core of what we do in terms of our investments, but are definitely a piece of the financial puzzle in the way that it's impacting people's lives in a lot of different ways.
Now, Brent, you're the voice of the podcast, and I get to co-host with you, but I know there's other people that are in the background working with you and working with the clients that you serve. Who's on your team, and can you tell us just a little bit about what they do?
Absolutely. We're really fortunate because here in the office, I have Kayla, who is, in many cases, she's the person that a lot of our clients are dealing with on a day-to-day. All the people in our office are people that clients are dealing with on a day-to-day basis, just in different capacities. Mm-hmm. But Kayla and I have been together for a very long time. She's also a CFP like myself, and she's working directly with me in many cases on the investment side and on the meeting side with clients. We also have Andy in our office, and He's the best when it comes to organizing this office and operations and making sure that our operation here is operating, is working flawlessly. And if clients need anything done in terms of money movement, in terms of anything that has to do with the accounts, Andy's the guy that gets it done. And Taylor's really the first person that most people talk to when they call. She's relatively new with us. She graduated cum laude from USC, and she's really excited to be in the business, and we're very excited to have her. But she's going to be the first voice that most people hear when they give us a call. My business partner, Myra, who is in 99% retirement, but she and I still have a really close relationship, and we work together for years and years very closely. And even though she's out of the day-to-day business at this point, she's a person that still means a ton to me and a person that I like to bounce ideas off of and just communicate with on a regular basis. And then also, it's really important to mention that, I mean, we've got thousands and thousands of people at Raymond James at the home office, both in St. Petersburg and in Memphis and up in Michigan and around the country, these back office operational people that are supporting what we do on behalf of our clients. And they're amazing. I mean, I absolutely love the relationship that we have with Raymond James, and really grateful that they are the people that we're working with on the operational side every single day.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to have a team because, again, that's everybody specializes in certain areas, and as a team, you guys are getting things done. So that's fantastic. All right, Brent, as we close out this first half of the podcast, the last question in this part is kind of deep. So I'm gonna have you really, really think on this one.
Okay, I'll do my best.
Yeah, all right, here we go. Brent, what is, if you could define it for me, what is your financial philosophy?
It breaks down to keep it simple. And that doesn't mean that the finances themselves are simple, but I think the way that you can both invest and also communicate what you're doing can be simple. I think if there's an issue with my industry, and I love the industry that I'm in, I think we do a lot of good for a lot of people. But if there's one issue that I have is sometimes it's how what we do is presented to the public. And what I mean by that is this, is we're not splitting atoms here. We're really not. Investments basically can be broken down into just a handful of things. It's cash. Everybody knows what that is. There's something that's near cash, whether it's treasury bills or something like that. It's a piece of a company, stocks. You have ownership in that company and hopefully ownership of a future income stream from that. The fixed income piece is bonds. It's debt, you know, where you are the lender essentially. And then there's stuff. It's real estate, commodities, that type of thing. Everything in the business is really derived from one of those four things. And it bugs me sometimes because I think that in some cases, people in this business can speak in a foreign language or try to make this stuff sound overly complicated where it's really not. So the first thing I would say in terms of our philosophy is this is pretty simple. And I will even say to clients when they come in, I'm not trying to dazzle them with terminology. I'll say, what we're doing here is pretty basic and boring, quite frankly. You know, we own cash, we buy stocks, we buy some debt. We might have a little bit in that stuff pile, but that's basically it. And it's how we organize it, which is where the real the work of it is. But I would say first case, keep it simple. The second thing I would say is, keep it as financially efficient as you can. There's a couple ways you can do that because there's a lot of people that have their hands in your pocket when you're in this industry, okay? I do for sure through Raymond James. We're charging a fee for our services. But also, those fees can get layered and they can get very deep if all of a sudden you're now putting in a lot of other additional products in there. Mm-hmm. It's not to say sometimes those products aren't necessary, but there has to be a really good reason to justify using those products. So we can control the fees. So we want to keep it simple. We want to control the fees. The third big thing is what can we do to run these assets in as tax efficient way as possible? Meaning that taxes are a reality of life. We're all going to pay them. There's no way around them. But there are some things that you can do either to defer them or to mitigate them to the best extent that you possibly can. And so the philosophy would basically be keep it simple, keep the fee structure under control to the best extent we can. It's getting hard to do that, but keep the taxes under control. And if that's that would really sum up, I think, how it is we approach this business and how we approach managing money for our clients.
Yeah, and that I'm sure we'll be talking about taxes in the future because everybody's
talking about it right now. We will. I've got a couple good topics in mind for that. Yeah, everybody's talking about them, and that's definitely going to be a hot topic moving forward for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But not for today because now we're going to get into the second part of this one, which is getting to the personal side of things, and we're leaving taxes out of this next section for sure. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So let's keep it simple, just like you said. Brent, when you're not working, what do you do for fun?
Oh, right now my time is dominated by my one-year-old daughter and my seven-year-old son and my wife. And that's, anybody that's got kids running around the house knows what that is like. And so that's a key focus for myself. But I have some other things I like to do as well. We can spend some time on those if you want. It's totally up to you.
Yeah. Being a parent, now I'm in the next stage where I'm a grandparent. So they take up a lot of time too, and it's just so much fun. But besides the kids, what else? Give me one more thing that you're doing for fun.
Sure. I mean, I'm really into anything outdoors. I love to trail run. I love to ski. I love to hike. It's really fun now because my son's at that age where he can do that with me, and he absolutely loves it. I mean, we make sure we get out there camping pretty regularly and do those type of things. My wife and I, we love to travel. We love to explore new places. And this year's been great because we're getting back out, at least domestically, doing a lot of that again. I'm also a pilot, so I do not as much, not as much flying as I would like. But I'm probably every week and a half or so, I'm up in an airplane flying around, at least here around the Southwest. So that's a lot of fun, and that's a real passion for me. I love. I could read about aviation, and not just fly the airplanes and things like that, but read about the history of the airplanes and the history of aviation. And that's just an area that I'm really, really passionate about. And then I'm a really bad guitar player, but I love it. Absolutely love it.
All right. Well, that'll be an entire podcast of itself later on.
I will not subject the listening audience to me trying to crank out a song, but I'll tell you, I started that. I will add one more comment on that. I started that later in life. It was something that I always wanted to do. And it's only been about two and a half, three years now that I've been playing, but every single day, I will absolutely pick up that guitar. And it's amazing. It's a small little efforts over time that add up, and I'm still not very good, but at least I can hack my way through a couple songs.
There you go.
So it's a lot of fun.
It's all about the little bits of time add up. You're right. All right. Next question. Brent, if you had to name one, who's your hero?
This is going to sound almost default or cliche, but I would have said before I had children, I would say my dad. Mm-hmm. And now that I've had children, I would definitely emphatically say my father. And the reason for that is, and I would include both my parents in this for sure, but the reason for that is, you know, you have this idea, at least as a child, that that your parents weren't people before they were your parents. Mm-hmm. You know, there wasn't these whole separate lives that existed before then. And now as I've had my own children, I would do anything in the world for them. And you realize, you look back and you see that degree of commitment that your parents had with you growing up. And you didn't recognize, I know I didn't. I did not recognize at the time the sacrifices that were made to try to advance my life and make good decisions around my life. And you do definitely see it as you get older. And so I would say for sure it would be both of my parents. But as a male, you look toward a male role model, excuse me. So I've got to say my father on that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. All right, you wake up tomorrow morning, and you've got, let's just say, about $5 trillion in your bank account.
It's a good number. I like that number.
There you go, $5 trillion. Yeah, anybody would like that number. But what would you do? If you had all the money you ever needed, what would you do?
I would still be in this business. I would just be my biggest client.
I mean, yeah.
But I would. I've thought about that. I mean, I'm not, put it this way, the math side of me, and I really defer to the math a lot in my own life. Like, what are probabilities of things? And it drives my wife crazy because I think about that stuff. Mm-hmm. But when the Mega Millions or the Powerball or any of those giant lotteries get big, I'm not a regular lotto player. But, you know, if we're talking like $500 million and I'm in the supermarket, I will buy a ticket for that because it's kind of fun to think about what the outcome would be. But every time I've got that, I've had that question. Okay, you the off chance you win this thing, what do you do? And the answer is, I keep my business. I keep doing what I'm doing. I'm just, you know, it's more of a family office at that point than anything else. But with still working with people that I love to work with. And all the money that I could possibly have flowing to me would not have me give up this business, because I look at this business as the degree that we are working with people in an area of their lives that is so deep and valuable and significant and really impacts everything. It's very humbling, but it's also hugely rewarding. And these are relationships that I've built with people now over, you know, a really long time. I'm not going to give those relationships up. So I would keep doing what I'm doing.
What is one thing that you recommend most to clients, family, or friends? And we're talking anything. It could be a pizza topping. It could be a book, anything.
That's a really good one because they're all such different topics. One of the number one rules for success in anything, and I'm going to quote like Ray Dalio here and David Goggins, which are two really different characters, but the number one premise is accept reality. And you can wish that something was different, but you have to accept reality. You have to accept where things are right now before you can do anything meaningful. And I'd always kind of felt that. I could never really articulate it, but then Ray Dalio is, you know, a great hedge fund manager. He had a book that came out a couple of years ago, and that was his number one rule of life. David Goggins, ex-Navy SEAL, the guy's a physical monster. I mean, he's a heck of a motivator, but again, an extremely tough guy that's had his own share of hardships. But his number one rule also, I'm paraphrasing him, but is accept reality. And that's the thing. I think that we can spend a lot of time, and I'm guilty of doing it occasionally too, but we can spend a ton of time focused on, wow, I wish this was this way, or I wish the world was this way. And I know in my business, I've got a lot of peers in my business that I love chatting with and talking to. And when the markets get dicey, as they do, we can be, oh man, I wish that this wasn't happening right now. But It's happening. So we got to accept reality. This is where we're at. And if you accept reality, I keep reiterating that, then you can move forward. Then you can make decisions based on where you're at and not an imagination or a dream of where they actually are. So that'd be my number one rule with life, I think.
All right. Now, this is one of my favorite questions to ask a lot of people. What is one thing that most people don't know about you?
That's a tough one. That's a real tough one. I would say, and my wife can tell me this too, so I think this is probably accurate. Sometimes I can seem to be very maybe not emotional on the surface, you know. But usually it's because I'm trying to analyze the situation. But I'd say the emotions probably in me run a lot deeper than most people would think. But that's, you know, and even this is going to sound corny as I'll get out when I tell you the story, but it's totally true. You know, I spent, before I got into this business in 2007, I got in this business. I was a trader on Wall Street for in excess of 10 years. And so we were trading, you know, in excess, it was on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. I was a member of the exchange. I was a specialist trader. And it sounds cheesy, but the guys I used to work with used to occasionally call me Iceman because they didn't know if I was long, short, I'm making money, losing money, whatever. And it would kind of annoy me when they did, because I'm like, oh, come on, guys, can we get any more cliche than that? But there's a lot more emotion probably happening under the surface than people would think. I don't know if that's a good answer for you or not. There's not really a fact that that I can throw out there, like I was born in, you know, some obscure country or something like that. But that might... Maybe that, I don't know if that's a good answer or not, Eric, but that's the answer I got.
Yeah, well, no, it resonates with me because my wife is one that can take a problem and she can compartmentalize it a lot of times, and she can, you know, deal with it, and then she's, you know, at nighttime she's fast asleep and I'm churning on something, and I'm looking at it from every angle. Now, most people probably already know that about me, but what you said resonates with me, right? It's there's more emotion under the surface than maybe people see. There's more going on there. I'm not deer in the headlights. I'm concentrating on, you know, unpacking something and repacking it and unpacking it again from a different angle. So I get it. I totally get it. I think that's a great answer.
And that's actually one of the reasons, quite frankly, among many, but one of the reasons I married my wife, because my wife is she's a big time communicator, and she'll go wait. Like, I can walk in the door and she can know if something's going on or not. And we're not going to get to bedtime unless that comes out. I mean, she's going to make sure that I'm communicating, you know, with her things that may be, you know, working below the surface that I'm trying to get through myself.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. And, you know, now this next question runs right into it. And this is one of our last ones. Oftentimes we do lose focus, right? It's not easy to live life and not have those moments where we're losing some focus, or, you know, the market's down and people start to get worried and concerned, or something's going on within our family, and it can really distract us a lot of times. Is there something that you say? Is there a mantra or a motto or something that you say to yourself, whether internally or maybe you say it out loud, that helps keep you focused and back on track?
Yeah, I think that you know, this too will pass, in the sense that the issues that we're dealing with, I know I look back and issues that I might have been dealing with 5 years, 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, they do pass. Yeah, they do pass, and things do move forward. And so the problems, for the most part, not all of them, I mean, some of them can be really serious and significant issues, but the day-to-day stuff can tend to be very temporary. And so what I try to do is you know, recognize, okay, this is where we are right now. Again, accept reality. Here's where we are right now. But once you've sort of accepted that, try not to let that get in the way of enjoying that time with your kids or enjoying a beautiful sunset or living the life that you have right now. I think, but I'm also a big believer. I think that our time here, you know, our time here, I think this is a giant, my philosophy on life, I don't know if we're going to go that deep, but I think this, we're here to have a giant learning and living experience. And, in many cases, again, as long as it's not permanent, but the bad stuff can be as much of a learning and living experience as the good stuff. And without the bad stuff, when the great stuff comes along, you have context for it. Again, I'm not always successful in applying that in my own life, but I try to continually revert back to that way of thinking.
All right. Well, as we wrap up the podcast today, you've got the attention of a lot of people. This podcast is nationwide, like I said earlier. Let me ask you, it's kind of a two-parter here.
Sure.
Who should be listening to this podcast? And give us kind of a sneak preview of some of the things that are coming up that people are going to hear.
Absolutely. I think that the person that might find some interest in some of the topics that I'm looking forward to addressing is someone that views, you know, their life as kind of a measure of art, where, you know, if you're getting up every day and you're looking at your life and saying, how can I make this more beautiful? Let's be honest, we're on an economic planet. Money helps you do that. You know, so I think you need to have a guide that's there with you that can help maybe give you some ideas or give you some perspective on ways you might be using that stored energy to in many cases make your life or the people around you, or maybe even the community that you're with at large, do your best to make that life more beautiful. The second person that should be listening to it is, again, people have had a good degree of success in their own lives, and they're looking for a resource, looking for a team that they can rely upon to give them a second opinion, or also at least offload some of those financial decision making aspects around the investment piece, of course, that they feel will help again help them to use the energy they have to free up bandwidth to do what they can to move their own ball forward. In terms of topics moving forward, you know, again, I think that finance for me is a huge, big topic because I think it impacts everything. Like I just said, we're on an economic planet. The money that you have, it will directly impact your health, or it can directly impact your health. It can, I won't say it will buy happiness because it certainly won't do that, but it can allow you to have more experiences that might add to the happiness mm-hmm. of yourself or the people around you. So the topics are going to be around some of those ideas. I do want to dive into some of the, I guess, exciting, you know, topics that are being discussed right now around cryptocurrencies and around, you know, some of the inflation concerns and around, you know, global economics. I mean, I do find that stuff very interesting and fascinating. In fact, I think one of the first ones that we're going to do is going to be with a good friend of mine that actually runs a brokerage firm, believe it or not, over in Bangladesh. And we're going to talk about India and China and Bangladesh and just what the emerging world is looking like right now. And he's probably going to be one of my first guests. Wow. But I also want to talk about health in your finances. I want to talk about charitable giving in terms of what you can do to make these dollars do two things, which are both awesome. Bring your family together, because if the family, particularly the next generation, has a unified vision of what this money can do for the world, mm-hmm. that can really tighten up families and help them to succeed on a really personal level. Health and finances, and if you're a business owner that has maybe questions about, you know, as a pilot, if you have an airplane for business, what are some of the tax ramifications? Those are the kinds of issues that we want to dive into. But I'm super excited to do this. I mean, both for, hopefully we're adding an education component where we can answer some questions that people are curious about. But for me, I'm just excited to have these conversations with you and with the guests that we have on. I think it's going to be fantastic to use that word again.
It's good. Absolutely. It's going to be fun. All right. And for those that are listening, that are thinking, well, geez, I'd like to talk to Brent before we even, you know, continue on this podcast. I don't want to wait 2 weeks for another podcast to come out. We're going to be giving contact information pretty much on most podcasts. There's always going to be the ability to find the contact information where you found the podcast, so that's not a big deal. But for those that don't want to wait, Brent, how do they get a hold of you?
Our phone number here at the office is 602-255-0555. Again, 602-255-0555. My email is brent@raymondjames.com. We're also found online at mpadvisorsaz.com or smartmoneysimplified.com. You'll find us online that way.
Brent, thank you so much for your time. And again, thank you for letting me be a small part of this podcast. I'm really looking forward to learning from you and learning more about you.
I'm excited to do this with you, and thank you for joining us on this journey. I think that's what I'm looking for, is just have a great journey with everyone that's going to come along with us for the ride. It should be fun.
And of course, our last thank you is going to go to you, the listening audience. We wouldn't be here without you. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the Smart Money Simplified podcast with Brent Mikosh. If you've not subscribed to the podcast yet, which I know you haven't because this is the very first one, go ahead and click the subscribe button. That would be great. This way, when Brent comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it really easy to share these podcasts with your friends and family as well. Again, thank you so much for listening. For everyone at MP Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Smart Money Simplified Podcast. Have any questions about topics covered during the show? Visit www.smartmoneysimplified.com or give us a call at 602-255-0555. Don't forget to click the follow button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the hosts and/or guests and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Raymond James Financial Services Incorporated. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional financial advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service providers with any questions you may have regarding your individual situation. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA, and SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services Advisors Incorporated, MP Advisors, LLC, is not a broker/dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services.